Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Recently, you might have heard the American Academy of Pediatrics released a statement saying basically that abortion is a right of adolescents, that adolescents have a right to abortion. We're going to talk about that today. Something that I think is very important to understand, though, as we approach this topic. Who is the American Academy of Pediatrics, and are there other organizations? You know that many times here we have guests from the American College of Pediatricians. Is there a difference between the organizations? Joining us today by phone, Dr. Michelle Critella. She is the president of the American College of Pediatricians. Dr. Critella, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Hi, good morning, Andy. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Always a pleasure to have you as our guest. And how are things going with the American College of Pediatricians these days?
The American College of Pediatricians is doing very well. We are so pleased with all the pro-life appointments, nominations, and certainly with President Trump reinstating the Mexico City policy where we will not be funding abortions internationally. So we are thrilled with those developments.
I had the privilege also of talking with one of the college members at the March for Life this year as well. Dr. Gambosi joined us by phone to share his perspective, and since then he shared with me a little bit more of his perspective in retrospect after visiting the March for Life, and I hope to talk with him again in the future and hear more about his involvement with the March for Life. This was a fairly new thing for him, and hope to continue to hear more from the American College of Pediatricians about events like that, the March for Life. Recently, the American Academy of Pediatrics, a different organization, released a statement regarding adolescence and abortion. Before we get into their statement, help us understand, who are these two organizations, the American College of Pediatricians, the organization of which you're president, and the American Academy of Pediatrics?
The American Academy of Pediatrics is about 80 years old. Initially, when they were founded, they actually were, their motto still says they are for all children. And initially, they were. Initially, they were pro-life, and they saw their, they were pro-life, they were pro-parental rights. However, following Roe v. Wade, they flip-flopped. They no longer viewed the unborn child as their patient, and they came out in full support of abortion rights for teenage women. They also came out in support of confidential care to teenage patients, particularly in the areas of sex, drugs, alcohol, and mental illness, meaning they encourage pediatricians to interview children from the ages of that 11, 12-year-old visit separately from the parents, and when it comes to issues such as dispensing birth control, helping them secure abortions, that they could go ahead and provide that care to the children confidentially without involving the parents. The American College of Pediatricians was formed in 2002 by AAP, or Academy, members. many of us had been trying within the Academy to bring back the pro-life and the pro-parent and the pro-family pillars. But we reached a point in 2002 when the American Academy of Pediatrics came out against the science, but fully embracing political correctness, and they were actually supporting gay parenting, saying that same-sex parenting does not pose any risk to children and is as nurturing as the traditional natural family. And that's when the pediatricians, a core group of us pediatricians, got together and said, you know what, we can't, our voices are not being heard, we're not able to even present to the American people that there are many pediatricians who disagree with this organization. So we broke apart and formed our own. So that's how the American College of Pediatricians was born. We don't disagree with everything the Academy comes out with. They do have a tremendous number of scientific resources on a whole multitude of issues, but on these social science issues that involve moral life principles, we have a strong disagreement. We believe they misrepresent the science.
The recent statement from the Academy, the American Academy of Pediatrics, just looking at the abstract, it's a statement that reaffirms its position that the rights of adolescents to confidential care when considering abortion should be protected. Also, that includes their the parental involvement and consent, their views on that. As you mentioned earlier, this is... Would you say this is rooted in a science or a political agenda?
You have to look at if we stick with the science, number one, the Academy is being hypocritical in that every abortion is anti-child. They're sanctioning the killing of their preborn patient. So that's hypocrisy. Number two, the Academy has correctly come out and identified that teenage patients are cognitively not adults. They are not capable of weighing risks and benefits and thinking of the future in the way that adults can. And the Academy has come out in other position statements saying how crucial it is to have mothers and fathers assist their teenagers and be involved in their lives. But on this particular issue of abortion, all of a sudden, that's not important anymore. And we should be quite comfortable treating 14-year-old girls as though they are adults. So, again, that's politics. The other problem that we in the college have is that, look, parents are the ones responsible for the well-being of their children, not doctors, not judges, okay, but the parents. So when these teen girls go and have their abortions without parental knowledge, it's the parents who are at home. So when these girls come home and they have excessive bleeding, they have infection, they go into a massive depression or anxiety attacks, the parents are the ones confronted with these, quote-unquote, side effects of abortion. Well, the parents have a right to know. The parents had a right to know before their child had the abortion. And many pediatricians, myself included, can attest to the fact that a teen girl will come in, find out she's pregnant, be like, oh, my gosh, my mom will kill me. My dad will kill me. Well, believe it or not, when a caring, compassionate pediatrician is there, I and my colleagues have never had a child murdered before our eyes. When there is a pediatrician there to facilitate the communication between a pregnant adolescent and a parent to help them see and understand they are not alone, there are resources, we can help you with this. Again, just because the adolescent reacts with, oh, my God, they're going to kill me, does not mean that they're in an abusive family.
It sounds like to me that one of the clearly dividing issues on this is who is, as you pointed out, who is responsible for that minor, for that adolescent who is a minor? Is it... Who is responsible for that person? Is it the parents? Is it the state?
Right.
Is it the physician? It's the parents, clearly. But obviously, statements like this from the American Academy and other organizations seem to believe that either that child is autonomous or it is the responsibility of the state.
Of the state, yeah. And it's interesting because they will, they fall back on, well, there are abusive families. There are parents who abuse their children. We must protect the children from these situations. To which I say, okay, explain to me how helping a girl get an abortion is helping her out of her abusive family situation. The answer is it doesn't. So it's the straw man. When you have a pregnant teenager and you can confirm that, oh my gosh, she's in a dangerous situation, the answer is not to kill her baby. The answer is to take care of the teenage girl and her baby. Get the social services in place and so forth. Abortion, just like in the case of rape and incest, very easily turns into a way to benefit the abuser. It just helps things get swept under the carpet.
How does the college respond to statements like this? What is the college's practice or procedure for responding to statements like this?
We have a number of... we have our own position statements on our website, and in general, we've detailed much of what I've already spoken of here in this segment, just detailing both the neurocognitive development of the teenagers, detailing what's involved in the abortion procedures, what the risks are. Basically, our response is just to repeat the scientific facts that the other side is glossing over.
The website, bestforchildren.org, B-E-S-T, the number 4children.org. That's the American College of Pediatricians. Our guest today, Dr. Michelle Critella, president of the American College of Pediatricians. Dr. Critella, thank you for being our guest today.
Oh, thank you so much for having us on.
Up in just a moment, we'll talk with the Ohio Right to Life and their response to the statement from the American Academy as well. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
This is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and the Chancellor of LCMSU, inviting you to join us right here on Wednesdays at 2 p.m. in the Student Union. If you can't make it, Student Union is always available as a podcast at kfuo.org. Learn more about LCMSU at lcmsu.org. And remember, college is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help.
Wednesday afternoon at 2 on KFUO.
Most of my family, they never graduated high school, so I'm trying to break that barrier.
My daughter, Brooklyn, was also a motivation for me to go back to school.
Every day after work, went straight to school, and it paid off.
At age 26, Kareem finished his high school diploma.
I could not have done it alone. I see the future is really bright for me.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
I'm Gary Duncan, the General Manager of Worldwide KFUO. We promote our various programs. We ask you to listen to your favorite show. We ask you to support our broadcast ministry, and we thank you for that support. But maybe we don't ask you to pray for us as much as we should. Please pray for the staff, management, radio hosts, and volunteers here at Worldwide KFUO. Pray that the message of salvation through Christ is heard clearly by listeners around the world. Pray that we continue to reach into those areas that are hostile to the Word of God. Pray that KFUO continues to reach those people desperately needing to hear the good news message. And pray that God continues to bless us financially through the gifts we need to continue our broadcast ministry. Thank you for listening, supporting, and praying for Worldwide KFUO. You truly are appreciated. We are the messenger of good news, AM 850 in St. Louis, worldwide at kfuo.org.
You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Recently, the American Academy of Pediatrics released a statement on the on adolescence and abortion, standing in favor of abortion for adolescents, saying that it is a right for them. And having just talked with the American College of Pediatricians, now we go to the Ohio Right to Life, Katie Franklin, Director of Communications there. Katie, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Thanks for being my guest today. Tell me a little bit about the work of Ohio Right to Life. What is the main work of Ohio Right to Life?
Well, Ohio Right to Life is the state's largest and longest serving pro-life advocacy organization. And we do a ton of education, just trying to spread the word of, you know, human development and the value of human life across our state. But we also work on legislation very heavily in our state, and we've been very fortunate to see abortions decrease here in the state of Ohio over the last 5 years by 25%. So, you know, that's not all attributed to Ohio Right to Life. There are many other pro-life organizations mm-hmm. in our state who are doing the good work, but that's just kind of a glimpse of, you know, who we are and what we do.
25% is significant.
It is.
Indeed.
It is. That's thousands of lives.
Wow.
7,000.
Certainly something to be thankful for.
Certainly.
What have been some of the significant issues that Ohio Right to Life has addressed in this past year?
Well, most significantly, just in December, we had the Governor John Kasich sign our Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, which is part of a national strategy to prohibit abortions when babies can feel pain. We know that babies have pain receptors present throughout their entire bodies by 20 weeks gestation. So this legislation prohibits abortions right there at the 20-week mark. And I think that it's a really great educational piece, too, because it really humanizes the experience of the unborn child. And it tells women and it tells fathers about, you know, what that baby is going through at the moment they're, you know, being very brutally aborted. So we just saw that legislation signed in December, and that's the pretty big one that Ohio has just gotten here, and we're going to keep working on other legislative initiatives. You know, there's still over 20,000 abortions that occur in Ohio every year, and while we're making a difference, we have to keep working on that.
The American Academy of Pediatrics recently released a statement regarding abortion in adolescents, claiming basically that abortion is a right of adolescents, as well as privacy, that the parental consent is not needed. As a matter of fact, that adolescents would be encouraged to include their parents in the decision, but they do not support the requirement of parents being included in that decision. What is the response of Ohio Right to Life regarding this American Academy of Pediatrics statement?
Well, Ohio Right to Life, when we saw this, a pediatrician who's a very good supporter of ours brought it to our attention, and we were immediately just taken aback. This has been a longstanding policy for the American Academy of Pediatrics, but this was just an affirmation of what they've already been saying. But it really kind of shocks the conscience, because over 70% of Americans support parental consent laws. It's just common sense that even pro-choice people would want to see some parental involvement. Abortion is a very impactful, huge decision that doesn't just take the life of an unborn child, but impacts a woman psychologically for the rest of her life. So we were, you know, very taken aback by the fact that an organization that says it's dedicated to the health of all children is in fact harming children twice with this statement. So at Ohio Right to Life, we decided, you know what, we should do something about this, and we decided to go ahead and work with a number of other medical associations, including the American College of Pediatricians and some bioethical centers across the United States that definitely oppose this kind of position statement. And we asked, we're urging the American Academy of Pediatrics to rescind this statement.
You mentioned that, I believe that was a statement from the president of Ohio Right to Life, and a sad twist, yes. The Academy, in fact, harms children twice.
Correct.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, so as I said, this kind of a statement harms children twice. First, the adolescent, you know, this whole statement talks about this child, this adolescent, this teenager who's still going through the highs and lows of, you know, the development that you're going through as a young person, and who isn't necessarily in the best place to make this kind of life-altering and life-ending decision. So it really turns things on its head by removing parents from the equation and allowing this young, still-developing child to make a decision that ends the life of another child. It truly undermines the value of both of those children and their lives, and what that young girl is going to face and suffer with for the rest of her life.
What baffles me regarding this position, as even aside from moral issues, religious issues, mm-hmm. supporting, as a pediatrician, supporting abortion, just, it does not make sense to me in any way as a pediatrician, because that's, even from a selfish perspective, mm-hmm. that's a potential patient.
Yeah.
Client, customer. It makes absolutely, even from a selfish perspective, it still makes no sense to me.
Right. That's why I think it's, you know, when we read this statement, we thought, well, this is clearly politics first. This is ideology first. It's not common sense. It just doesn't resonate with the average American who, you know, just doesn't think that a child should be left with this weighty decision all on their own. It's not rational. And you're right, pediatricians, they should have an interest in protecting every human life. And medically, they're more intimately aware of all of the intricate details of human development than everyone else is. So I would think that there's still more of a burden on these pediatricians to just honestly recognize what they're saying.
For the pediatricians still in who are a part of the Academy who perhaps disagree with this statement, there is an option for them. There's the American College of Pediatricians, mm-hmm. that truly supports all life, and there's an option for them if they're looking for a group of colleagues to support them. Speaking of groups and voices, who are the associations and voices that have joined you in responding to this statement from the Academy?
Yeah, well, as you said, the American College of Pediatricians, as well as the Christian Medical and Dental Associations, and then some bioethical centers. The National Catholic Bioethics Center is one, the Center for Bioethics at Cedarville University here in Ohio, and the American Association of Pro-Life OBGYNs, which is another really great resource, as well as the Catholic Medical Association. So I think we had about six of these other medical associations join us.
And that's no insignificant voice when these organizations, especially of medical professionals and those who are researching these issues as well, that's no insignificant voice. Thank you for your work and for what you're doing in responding to this statement from the Academy. And where do we go from here?
Well, from here, I think that it's, you know, incumbent on all pro-life people to speak up and stand up and be counted on this. And if you're a pediatrician, if you're a doctor, to really hold these medical associations accountable for putting politics above medicine, above science. And then, of course, you know, I think that it's always a powerful thing to pray for a change in hearts and minds on this subject.
Our guest today, Katie Franklin, Director of Communications, Ohio Right to Life. Katie, thank you so much for being my guest today and sharing with us your response to the Academy's statement.
Thank you, Andy.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Tomorrow on Faith and Family, I'm going to take a look at some results, the results of the youth poll at the 2016 LCMS National Youth Gathering. What did youth have to say? How did they respond to the questions in the poll? And what does that say about our youth and perhaps what that means for the future? We'll talk with the Director of Youth Ministry for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, as well as others, as we look over those results. Thy Strong Word up next on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.